what great words we have sung this morning. We are in 2 Peter. Some of the last recorded words of Peter, who introduces himself at the beginning of this little book as the servant of God, the bond servant. The text for today is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And the title for the sermon is The Day of Eternity. Now, if you have a pencil and paper, I'd encourage you to take some notes so you can have leftovers during the week and review that for further nourishment for your soul. We trust that that is so. The Day of Eternity. What a way to end a little book. The inspired words of God were given to Peter. And he writes here at the end, The Day of Eternity. And so it is. So we arrive at the Day of Eternity. The end of the greatest story ever told. Not an imaginary story, but the real, real story of the loving, all-powerful, holy God who created all things very good, including men and women created in the image of God. But the man and the woman rebelled against their good creator, treacherously believing the deceitful serpent. Both the man and the woman followed the deceiver in disobeying the one command. One command. The one command given by their good creator for their good and for the good of the whole created order. This wicked treason by the two image bearers would not end well. But for the grace and mercy of their good creator and redeeming God. The consequence for disobeying the one command was death. Death for both the man and the woman. But by the mercy and grace of the most holy God, He provided a substitute. A substitute to die in the place of the man and the woman. That terrible day, a lamb without blemish and without spot died as a substitute for the man and the woman. When the good creator slew the innocent lamb. And there on that blood-stained altar was the substitute for Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3. One terribly good day, much, much later in the redemptive story, the greatest story, the one Lamb of God would be killed fulfilling the picture of all those lambs that had died since Adam. This lamb, the one lamb, was like no other lamb. For this one lamb was the very Son of God, who was born of Mary, taking on himself a body like yours and like mine, in the perfect image of God. This baby is Jesus, the promised one. The promised one who would be on that terribly good day, the perfect substitute for the sin of all who would believe in Christ and trust in Him alone for the forgiveness of sin. And that is the greatest story ever told. But it doesn't end there. The end of the greatest story does not stop there, because the next page is the first page, the first day of eternity. So we come to our text. Like the finishing touches of a master painter, our text captures the message designed to nourish our souls in holiness of outward life and godliness in heart. And we see here in our text, one, lawless people are a danger to spiritual stability. Lawless people are a danger to spiritual stability. Two, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And three, to Christ. To Christ be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Reading our text, this is the Word of God. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him, to Christ, be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for these inspired words given through your apostle Peter, your servant, your bond slave, as you have called us all to be. Bless your word to our hearts. Nourish our souls. For we depend on you, Lord, to guide us and feed us in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lawless people are a danger to spiritual stability. So Peter says, beware. Beware false teachers. They're out there. Beware false teachers who twist the scriptures to their own destruction. Beware so that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. John Calvin wrote, how many hundreds of years ago? What then will become of us if we are exposed to the danger of falling? To this I answer, writes John Calvin, that this exhortation and those like it are by no means intended to shake the firmness of that faith which rests on God, but to correct the sloth of our flesh. Not a phrase we commonly use. The sloth of our flesh is that slow-moving, unimportant attitude that we and Adam tend to give to the means of grace, which are all we need for life and godliness. They are praying, reading and hearing the teaching and preaching of the Word, regular worship on the Lord's Day, with singing of spiritual hymns and hearing the Word, fellowship of the body of Christ in celebrating the Lord's table, and in baptism. God gave us these means of grace for growth in Christ and stability in our walk along the pilgrim path of life. So Peter says, knowing this beforehand, take care. That's something we can do. Take care. Peter warns us to stand guard. Take care, stand guard. This is a military term. Scoffers will come with scoffing, and they will say, where is the promise of his coming? Judgment. Where is it? They scoff at the promise of God in order to give themselves to their sinful desires. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 1, 2 Peter. Well, like warning signs along the highway, we are warned of the dangers in listening to, how many things are you listening to? And following false teachers. For they, the false teachers, purposely twist Scripture. Not by accident, on purpose. Twisting the Scripture to satisfy their sinful desires. And they will encourage you to follow their lawless example, such that you lose your own stability. Now, stability, think mountain climbing, think hiking. Stability, think running marathons. Stability means firm footing. Securely placed on the foundation rock of the finished work of Christ and the promise of His Word. Now that is firm footing. Now the word for twist is graphic. Streblo-o means to turn away a word from its meaning. More graphic. Streblo-o was used to describe the torture of a body whose limbs are pulled out of place, being dislocated by stretching the body on a rack. Now that is torture. And that is the twisting that false teachers will do to the Word of God in order to follow their sinful desire. So beware, stand guard, beware false teachers who twist the Word of God. The distortion of God's Word is the error of lawless people who want what they want when they want it. It is the lawless attitude of the heart that is in unwilling to submit to the authority of Scripture, God's good word, for our good and for His glory. This is the essential characteristic of spiritual deceivers, twisting the word to support their desire. Beware. But grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Grow. Grow in Christ's likeness. Become. Seek to become. Seek the means of grace. Take advantage of what God has provided and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Since you were warned of these slothful tendencies to neglect what God has provided for you, and you were warned of the lawless teachers eager to persuade you to follow them, now grow in Christ. Grow, don't waste time. Grow in Christ. Like one commentator said, when one grows in Christ, he not only does not fall from stability, but is so firmly rooted as to sprout branches and yield increase. Fruitful. Growing in Christ is the solid ground on which one will not slip. It is by the promises of God in Jesus Christ that we who have believed in Christ have become, chapter 1, verse 4, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. The solid ground of our salvation is not based on our works, but rather in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in full payment as the price of our sin. And more than that, God has credited to us who believe and trust in Christ alone the righteousness of Christ and made us partakers of the divine nature, born again as a child of God to newness of life in Christ. So grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Grow in Christ's likeness. Peter says, chapter 1, verse 5 through 11, make every effort to grow in the excellent qualities of Christ. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, our text closer, chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, since you are waiting, actively looking for the new heavens, the new earth, in righteousness, Since you are waiting actively, looking for this, be diligent. Same word. Make every effort to be found by Christ without spot or blemish and at peace. The best stability of your faith is when you are walking with Christ, growing by the grace of God in Christ-like qualities of life. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Christ. To Christ be the glory. To Christ be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Having reassured his readers of the certainty of Christ's return, our chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, Peter concludes with an exhortation to live this life in light of that reality, the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a New Testament theme. A theme which Paul affirms in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your thinking heart, on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. In our text, the word now. Now is the time in which we live. This is the now. It is distinguished from the coming of the day of eternity, the day of God. We live in the here and now, in light of the reality of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has come. He has come with power to save by his shed blood on the cross in our place, and by the resurrection from the dead, being seated now at the right hand of God the Father on the throne. Christ has come. Praise God. And now we wait his soon return in power and glory to consummate his kingdom. We live here in the already, and we look forward to the not yet. But the yet, not yet is coming, and it is coming soon. The Gospel of Mark begins with Jesus proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Reading Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into the Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel." A few years later, Peter would affirm that Jesus is the Christ, the promised one, the Son of the living God, to which Jesus responds, Mark 16, verse 18, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That is what is happening now. The kingdom of God is storming the gates of hell. The kingdom of darkness is being assaulted by the kingdom of light. Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail, but that all who are called will come to Christ, the fount and source of living water for newness of life in Christ. The day of eternity, verse 18, will be the day of God, verse 12, our text, our chapter. The day of eternity will be the day of God when all people born throughout all of history will be separated into two groups and only two groups. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for forgiveness of sin on one hand. And those who refuse to believe and trust in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin on the other hand. Two, and only two. That day will mark the end of what we call history. And that day will mark the first day of eternity. And so we live. We live now, between the gospel of the kingdom being announced and the consummation of the kingdom, the day of eternity. We live in the here and now in light of the reality of the soon return of Christ in power and glory. Christ has come. He will soon return. You could say that we live between the already and the not yet. And there is more. There is more to come. Much more. These are the wonderful God-given word pictures that cause in our heart hope eternal to spring up, refreshing us in the here and now, renewing us to faithfulness in Christ as we actively wait His soon return. However, if you are not now in Christ, that same moment, that same anticipated moment of His glorious return will be one of anxiety and fear. But that need not be so. Thus we count the patience of our Lord as salvation, verse 15 of our chapter 3. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to repent of sin and come to Christ for the forgiveness of sin and newness of life in Christ. The day of eternity. The day of eternity will be the day of God, when the Lord Jesus Christ delivers His kingdom to God the Father, after fully bringing about the consummation of God's redemptive purposes in Christ to the glory of God. To Christ be the glory. Both now and to the day of eternity. Christ will be glorified. It will be evident for all in at least three ways, and let me just mention them. One, Christ is victorious everywhere that Adam failed. Everywhere. And Adam failed all over the place. Christ is victorious everywhere that Adam failed. Two, the power of the grace of God in Christ alone to save is manifest by the removal of every excuse any person could come up with. And that'll be manifest for everyone to see. Christ is victorious everywhere Adam failed. The power of the grace of God in Christ alone to save is manifest to everyone. And the reign of Christ with the redeemed, His people, is manifest on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes this. For as in Adam, all die, no exceptions, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority, every power. For he must reign. That's not maybe. That says we hope. No. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 22 to 26. What does that mean to us? Two things. One, are you prepared to die? Are you today prepared to die? If not, now is the time to come to Jesus for forgiveness of sin and newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, where you will find rest for your soul. Two, are you found today, this day, in Christ? Then seek to be faithful in the things that matter for all of eternity. Grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. so that at his soon return, you will be found faithful. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, our Lord and Savior, thank you for dying for our sins and rising to give us your righteousness, and now ruling from the throne. May all glory be yours. And may those who do not know you, that you are calling indeed, come, for now is the day of salvation. And may those of us who know you and look for your soon return, at your return, may we be found faithful. We ask this for the glory of your name and for our good, the good of your people. Build us and make us all that you would have us to be in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.